Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. Just another reminder that we will have Santa Claus with us tomorrow for 3 hours from 10 to 1. So get the grandkids, get the kids, and call on in. It happens to be one of my favorite shows of the year. Truly enjoy listening to kids. And I get to learn about all the new toys that are available out there that I had no idea of what's going on now that my kids are all grown up and my granddaughter's older and moved on from that stage of her life as well. So, you know, it's just very interesting to see what the kids are interested in these days and what they're looking to buy. So tomorrow from 10 to 1, we'll be visiting with Santa Claus. So give us a shout. So I think we're trying to get in touch with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, to talk about the year in review. But in the meantime, while we're doing that, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Tux line. What is the most memorable thing that you recall about 2025? Obviously, for us here locally, it started out with the tragic event on Bourbon Street, right? I think the governor has dedicated the next four days, I believe, of next week in the memory of those that lost their lives and the families that were impacted by that event. Obviously, as well, it was national news. It was covered extensively. And that's how our year started out. It was a tough thing, a tragic incident, and one that it took us a little while to recover from it. We did. We went on and held events, Super Bowl to be won, in spite of the challenges and the beliefs and things of that nature. And I will say that there was a lot that this community came together on. And probably it was, might have been one of the highlights of LaToya Cantrell's last year in office, quite frankly, was pulling that together and pulling it off letting her administration cooperate with so many community leaders in order to deliver what many people had said was Super Bowl style responses to a whole bunch of different things. But in the immediate aftermath of that, what was interesting here locally about 2025, in my view, is that that's when the wheels of the information of the financial mess that we were in began to come off. And there were bits and pieces and tidbits here and there that we were learning. There were things that were being said by not only the CAO, but the CFO that really started to not make sense relative to what was happening here locally. And as each month passed, we were learning more and more and more, and there was more probative questions being asked about, you know, what was going on financially in 2025. And, you know, it was interesting that and during the course of a lot of this, there was the revelation of information about Mayor Cantrell and her problems with the federal government. There was also information about, a number of agreements that the council had entered into, one being the school board agreement for the satisfaction of that lawsuit that was filed, where the city just unilaterally decided to start charging a fee on the collection of property tax revenue. Kind of curious, I hadn't heard much about whether or not the tax rolls have been filed with the Department of Revenue yet. Hopefully they are. They're due January 31st. Obviously, everything's got to hit on time if we're going to help get it together here in the city. But then, reneging on that deal, the administration reneging on that deal. And then obviously one of the issues that we talked about a lot here, as I remember in 2025, was simply trash pickup. I mean, who would have thought that the trash contract was going to be as big of an issue as it ultimately turned out to be? And it was an on-again, off-again situation, an emergency contract. There were stunts that were pulled and strategies deployed to try and cause one to be at risk in the decision-making process, and almost trying to develop a ripe issue to go running to court to see if they could win one way or the other, which was an ugly battle between the council and the mayor. And we hope that we never see that again, quite frankly, because in the end, the consumer, you, the taxpayers in the city of New Orleans, were the losers in 2025 on so many different fronts. But on other fronts, you were winners because the New Orleans City Council stepped up, took more of a governance role where they were holding the mayor accountable, and they didn't have a lot of tools in their tool belt to do it because they are the legislative branch of government, not the executive branch of government. But where there was an opportunity or a window, they took advantage of it, and they were able to affect some change and at least put the brakes on in a lot of cases where the mayor wasn't actually as free and as free wheeling to do some of what she wanted to do, which was going to be a disaster, quite frankly. And then as we progress through the year, the more financial information comes out and we begin to paint a picture of a fiscal nightmare, of a storm that's brewing, and wondering how we are going to work our way out of this, and almost to the beginning of December, where we're still struggling to figure out a number, and in some cases still to figure out a cause, which is scary as well. And here we are, now having procured a short-term loan to carry us through, trying to figure out how we're going to do certain things. Even in the month of December, the mayor pronounces that she wants to spend dollars on projects that we don't have the money, and would be actually putting the incoming administration more handcuffs on them, more than they're already handcuffed in many respects. But here we are still, fighting back on these issues. It was also a very interesting year in 2025, I think a turning point in many respects as it relates to law enforcement here. There was a lot of gains that were made. A lot of cases closed. Clearance rates went up. Crime was dropping. Those are two indications of things moving in the right direction. Hopefully they're able to continue that. We should be very concerned about 2025 on a budget process as well as to where we're going to be in 2026 as it relates to the jail. It is not a coincidence that when you lock up more of the impact players in jail, off the streets, crime's going to go down. Because you can look at any geographic region, and anywhere from about 9.5% to 11% of the population is responsible for somewhere north of 75% of violent crime. And the more those that you can selectively incapacitate, put in jail, you're going to see reductions in crime overall. We've hit record numbers of folks put in jail this past year. The problem now is what the Sheriff Susan Hudson has been talking about, is that with the cuts that were made in the budget that was adopted, they're going to have a very difficult time manning the tiers, sections of the jail where they'll be able to keep people locked up. And it's going to be interesting to see what impact this is going to have, because these impact players, they're in the business of crime. That's all they do. They wake up with crime in mind. They go to bed with crime in mind. They want to steal your property. They want to steal your money. And that's all they know how to do. So they're not going to change their ways just simply because there's a bump in the road and you put them in jail and they, you haven't gone to trial and you hadn't put them in the penitentiary. And if we have to end up releasing some of these folks and not being able to lock them up, it's going to make it more difficult to solve the cases, to selectively incapacitate these individuals, and it's going to put more stress on the NOPD. Hopefully, we don't move backwards in 2026, but there are some headwinds because of these budgetary constraints, these fiscal constraints that we have now, that we have to work our way out of. That's why you heard me go off this morning on Festivus, my grievance, about the setting of priorities and the funding of SAME. We cannot be all things to all people. It's not something that we're able to do. We don't have the dollars to do it. And you can't just throw a little bit of money at this and a little bit of money at that to say we can walk and chew gum at the same time, you know, look at what we're doing, and not actually look and assess the impact, the outcome. What difference are we actually making? And what is the cost? And then when we don't utilize those same dollars for the priority items that we ought to have been, what did we miss? How many opportunities did we miss, right? To improve upon streets, sidewalks, drainage, cleaning of culverts, intersectional controls, signal controls. All of those things that day in and day out as you travel into the city of New Orleans is a different challenge. You never know when it's going to rear its ugly head, and you're used to a traffic flow pattern of X and you end up with Y, Z, and who knows how many other options that have changed in the course of a day. These are the things that I hear about all the time. These are the challenges of 2025 that people were feeling, are feeling good, and momentum is being had relative to a new administration in the very near future. January 12th, to be exact. So 2025 was a tough year in this city. 2025 has also been a rocky year nationally for a whole host of reasons. We don't seem to be able to agree on much. The word compromise still is a nasty, dirty word. The willingness to compromise is waning, quite frankly, on key issues. We are in an ideological warfare at the present time. It's a zero-sum game, and we will win at all cost. And in the end, we don't accomplish very much. We talk about immigration extensively here. We've talked about those that are living below the federally identified poverty level. How do we go about affording them? We've talked about Medicaid, Medicare. We've talked about a bunch of different issues. We've also talked about the inability to execute at both the federal, state, and local levels. A state example is look at the California wildfires. I think less than a dozen permits now have been issued in the aftermath of that event. the utilization of water for the fire companies there. No one was paying attention. No execution. They didn't have the pressure. They didn't have the availability of water that they needed. Total disaster from an execution standpoint. Right here in the city. JJIR, the roads program. We didn't manage it very carefully. We didn't set aside the necessary dollars, the match dollars, to make sure that we were able to do what we needed to do. That was not only the Cantrell administration. This goes all the way back to the Nagin administration. We didn't have the ability to receive. Now, there's no doubt that governmental efficiency is a problem. DOGE should have been more of a success for the Trump administration. But they fumbled their way through that process and tried to do things way too quick and have the opposition, Democrats, they wanted to put them behind so that they would be chasing the Republicans as it related to the DOGE efforts. And guess what happened? We didn't have execution. We missed. We missed miserably. And we're still caught up in court. It's interesting that you can hire somebody in government but and increase the size of government with relative ease. But cutting government is so much harder. What property right do they have to any particular government job that's out there? It's amazing that we can create a bureaucracy larger than anything, but we can't minimize it. We can't shrink it. We have the authority to increase but not shrink. Interesting. And at the state level, if you look at what's going on in Minnesota relative to the fraud schemes there, could be as high as $9 billion now. $9 billion. And then finally, at the federal level, overseas spending and all of the programs that have been highlighted over the years where they might be great causes, but the execution of the spend and how we go about looking at accountability and whether or not we are judged by a matrix or something that shows whether or not we're actually making things better or not, as opposed to just saying, well, we're spending money there, so therefore somebody's reaping the benefit. Is that the mindset that we as taxpayers want to have at the national level? So when I look back at 2025, the big thing for me that comes out is execution, both at the local, state, and federal level. We did not do well. And it shows and it reveals itself with every breaking story about abuse, about fraud, about the lack of internal controls, about the ability to spend your money appropriately and efficiently. And hopefully, in 2026, things will improve. It's not going to be transformational change. It'll have to be incremental, small steps. It's how government's designed. Supposedly, it's designed to not change so quickly, to not react immediately to the whim of any one individual or collection of individuals out there, to be more measured in its change. We'll see, because 2025 was a wild year. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We requested of the incoming Helena Moreno administration to have an opportunity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
To speak to folks that are going to hold the deputy mayor positions in this new construct of governance that's being put forward by Mayor-elect Moreno. And we were able to meet with Renee Laparolari last week, who is the deputy mayor for external affairs. And today we are joined by Dr. Jennifer Avegno, who will be the deputy mayor for health and human services. Dr. Avegno has actually served under the Cantrell administration, and I'm not sure how many other holdovers there are, but she would be considered one. And Doc, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be back, Noel. Thank you.
So, Doc, your thoughts of Mayor-elect Moreno asking you to stay on in this position, and what are you looking forward to in 2026?
Well, I'm really personally honored and humbled to be able to continue to serve the people of New Orleans. This is the best job I've ever had. It's not a job I ever thought I would have. And the last 7.5 years have been incredibly challenging, but I think that we've really laid the groundwork for improving health in our city. And I'm really grateful that the mayor-elect saw the vision, saw and recognized that health and human services are just as important to the long-term prosperity and vitality of a community as public safety and as infrastructure and all of the more traditional maybe city services. And so by elevating that to a cabinet level position, I really think we're going to be able to work so much better across city agencies, because in many cases we have the same goals, right? Having your streets fixed and your lights on and places for recreation where people can play are important for the community, but they're also important for people's health and for making our well-being just that more robust. So I'm really excited about the chance to continue to serve, and I know there's a lot that we can build on from what we've already done.
So what do you see going into 2026? What are some of the initiatives that you might want to engage in that you haven't had the opportunity to do so thus far?
Well, I think our first priority is to get out of the budget hole. You know, the health department traditionally is upwards of 85% federal grant funded, or mostly federal grants, but largely grant funded. So we have a very tiny sliver of the general funds, but that doesn't mean that we're not feeling the effects of our current budget crisis. Because we have used federal funds and are really familiar with grants, we're often able to supplement. And so for us, even though we did get a significant hit to our budget, our core programs and things like behavioral health, our mobile crisis intervention unit, our maternal child health programs, including our universal nurse home visiting program in New Orleans, we're going to be able to continue those, and that's important. And I think right now we're all looking across city agencies to say, how do we get out of this hole? How do we make sure that citywide it doesn't happen again? And then how can we build? But we're already trying to strengthen what we have. So, for example, our mobile crisis intervention unit, we've done over 7,000 mental health calls for service in the last 2 years. We are looking to expand the number of calls that we can do safely. For our nurse home visiting program, we've visited over 1,500 families in their home in the last nearly 2 years. We want to not only get to every New Orleans family, but we want to take it statewide so that if you have a baby in Jefferson Parish or Richland Parish or Orleans Parish, you're going to get the same services. So for right now, we want to strengthen. We also want to better integrate. You know, we're going to be assuming the functions of the Office of Youth and Families, some of the human-facing services of the Office of Criminal Justice Coordination, and then overseeing our homeless services. So we want to make sure that those are as robust as we can get them with no new resources. and that the public knows what to expect. You know, we're going to be tackling a lot of really complex social problems. That's kind of what we do. And so we don't really have easy answers. We're also really looking forward to finding those partnerships with the state and with the feds. You know, I've been here at the city level throughout multiple different administrations, both state and federal, and found a way to work with them on a lot of really challenging issues. And that's what I'm hoping that we as the Moreno administration are going to be able to do.
When you look at this administration, the Trump administration has been in office for a year now. They have kind of a different mindset as it relates to the allocation of grants and their willingness to step forward in many ways, as opposed to the previous administration, the Biden administration. I would agree with you about what you said, that it, you know, you've worked with a bunch of different administrations, some nuances, but I don't think there's ever been as many as stark as these are. And I'm curious you know, how you see that impacting some of these programs that you're if you're relying on 85% of the funding to come from grants, and I would suspect that most of those are federal grants, that could continue forward.
Yeah, and that's been a challenge. We've been pounding the pavement for the last year. You know, we've had a lot of conversations with our delegation about the impact of changes to grants, changes to things like SNAP and Medicaid. I mean, as you well know, Louisiana has one of the highest SNAP eligibility rates and Medicaid rates in the country, and it's crucial for a number of different things. But we really are triaging, right? I mean, I'm an ER doctor. That's what I do. And so we know that there are certain federal programs that we know have had real impact in our community that for whatever reason aren't are on the chopping block, right? Or potentially, you know, one of those is Healthy Start. It's a program that is intensive case management for young families that reduces the risk of infant mortality. We've got a great story to tell on that, because in the years we've had this program, Orleans' infant mortality rates have gone down. So we have been taking it to all of the delegation. And again, we don't just pick and choose who in our delegation we want to go talk to about this, because the issues of infant mortality are even more important in Speaker Johnson's district, for example, or Representative Higgins' district. So we want to make sure that they know the impact of cutting some of these programs. And we're just going to continue to do that. I think, you know, the mayor-elect has really established early on that she's willing to work with anyone, because we know what benefits New Orleans almost always benefits the rest of the state in terms of federal programs. And we know it's a different language now, often that we have to speak about public health. There's we certainly don't agree with the administration on everything that they're trying to do with health. But I think we can show the return on investment for everything that we do with our federal grants, and I'm hopeful that will make the difference.
You know, it seems as though I say this often, and I'm curious of your response. The utilization and the procurement of federal or state grants is great, but you have to have the ability to receive. And a lot of times I find that local government doesn't appropriately forecast the match that they have to put up, the administrative costs that they have to share in the administration of the grant across a number of different disciplines, especially a section like yours, because you're really drawing upon the services of a lot within your governmental entity, but also looking to the not-for-profit community to provide that continuum of care in many cases, and they're getting cut as well. And I'm just kind of curious if there's going to be this opportunity for you and others to try and fine-tune and improve upon that, because I think in my mind, from an outsider looking in, this administration has had a tough time quantifying that, and they have found themselves behind the eight ball many times.
Yeah, we're really lucky at the health department, because we've had to be good at least our own section of grants, right? You know, we don't do the JIRR, the FEMA grants, or any of that, but because we've had decades of really having to be good at our grants that we try to run a really tight ship. We try to make sure that, you know, whether it's our individual employees or whether we're working with nonprofit vendors, and, you know, some of our nonprofits have robust capacity and some we have to really help along. But we've got to meet deliverables. If they're not meeting deliverables, we will help them meet deliverables. And that's the sort of ethos that we do even with our non-grant funded programs, right? We have metrics for every program. We're collecting data on a regular basis. If something doesn't look right or if someone is having trouble reporting, we'll go back and work with them. And I think that is what you're going to see out of the Moreno administration, is just a real focus on what are the metrics, how are we collecting them, and who is holding folks responsible when they don't meet them. You know, first, how can we help, right? If we're partnering with you, we all sink or swim. We want you to be successful. But understanding that, you know, for federal grants or city grants, it's not just giving out money and then sort of not being, you know, not being accountable to what's happening. And I think you're going to see that throughout city government. It is hard, right? Governments are complicated and there's bureaucracies, but everybody should feel like they're getting the absolute most for the money that's invested in our programs.
You're in a unique situation because you come from a walk of life, health economy that's probably the most difficult thing I've ever seen, and is sometimes the most counterintuitive to anything I ever learned about economics in school. And having served on a hospital board for in excess of 20 years, I learned more than I ever cared to know about the healthcare economy. But there are a lot of principles that you bring to the forefront that most people have never, ever experienced. And I think that's kind of a difference maker.
Yeah, healthcare is incredibly complex. Hospitals, you know, and I sit on a hospital board too, they are difficult. There are multiple funding streams. There are multiple threats. And at the same time, they're expected to deliver high quality care for everybody who walks in their door, no matter what, right? So it is a real tightrope. And I think, you know, we are really, really fortunate in the New Orleans region to have such strong healthcare institutions. When you look at how we rank on a number of different things, right? And we have a long way to go in this state in terms of overall health indicators. But where we rank highly is actually clinical care and the number of professionals that we have. What our task is at the health department is how do we focus on all of the things that make you healthy or not healthy before you even get to the hospital. And that's what's not funded, or that's what, you know, everybody sort of fights for the scraps at the federal level, is how do we do that preventative care? How do we make sure you have access to care so that you can go into one of our hospitals or our FQHCs or our clinics and really be successful? And so, you know, as complicated as hospital financing is, figuring out how to do the preventative stuff is complicated as well. But we know that that's where you get the biggest bang for your buck. When you invest in preventative programs, the return on investment, whether it's short, medium, or generational, is tremendous. And so, again, I'm excited for the opportunity to figure out how can we make maybe modest investments that are going to have huge dividends down the road.
And the irony is that we moved to this population health management model a decade ago, right? And as you just pointed out, the continuum, I mean, one would have thought that a lot of this would have been in place because that's how they were judging the impact and the effectiveness and the quality that was being, that needed to be delivered by the hospitals.
Right. And I'll tell you, you know, our relatively new state health secretary is also very focused on this, right? Like we spend a lot of money on paying for expensive care, right? We can pay for the cardiologist to take you to the cath lab and unblock that artery. But how can we take that money and maybe spend less of it so that you never need the cardiologist in the first place, right? That hasn't happened in America, but I think we're a good place to try out some new approaches.
Coleman, give me one more minute. I got another question. What do you see as your biggest challenge in 2026?
I think our biggest challenge is to, you know, there's a lot of social and economic headwinds nationally. Affordability is a huge problem. When affordability becomes a crisis, when housing becomes out of reach, that directly affects people's ability to spend money on their health care, to get that prescription, or to follow up with that doctor. So I think really, as big as many initiatives as we have, we've got to figure out how to make sure that our residents have their basic needs met so that they can also focus on their health.
That is well put, and that is a challenge on many different fronts. There's no doubt about it. In one's health, yeah, I mean, it's just, you can't buy it, right?
That's right. That's right.
And a lot of it is education as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Congratulations to you on being asked to stay on with the Moreno administration, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, and good luck in 2026.
Thank you, Neil. Happy holidays.
And thank you for joining us. That's Dr. Jennifer Evagno, who will be the Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services under the Moreno administration. We'll be right back, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Stay with us. I don't know about you, but with the last two interviews with both Dr. Evagno and with Renee Laparolari, I think you're going to see a refined and re-engineered focus on a lot of granular details, especially around finances. And obviously, they all recognize the challenge that the city faces, and that in the end is actually a very good thing. And I've been really encouraged by what I'm hearing from folks, because obviously they're having significant conversations in and around this topic that needs to be had in order to improve the position of the city. Because in the end, when you have a level of inefficiency, when you have a level of a lack of funding available, what it leads to is you're not able to do is just what was just pointed out by Dr. Evagno. What you really need to do to make the impact in the community, to try and move things forward and gain that momentum and improve upon the services that you hope to deliver. And always knowing that maybe the funding formula, the Fed or the state or otherwise, is going to change. You've heard me talk about this a lot. And it's that focus on the details and the priorities that will always carry you through. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way when we return. And just another reminder, Santa tomorrow. Get the kids and the grandkids to give us a shout. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Scoot's on location, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Yeah, Noel, we're at Perfume Headquarters on the West Bank at 2034 Woodmere. We're right off La Palco, and we are here to help people get some last-minute Christmas shopping done here. You can just come in here and get cologne or perfume, which is a great gift for somebody. And we have a couple of other things to talk about. We'll get into some of the best Christmas movies and some of the movies that some people say are Christmas movies, but they're really not Christmas movies. They're just set at Christmas time. And a few other things to get to this afternoon. So we'll have fun here at Perfume Headquarters.
All righty, Scoot's up next, folks. Stay tuned. Don't forget, Santa tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.